May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30. You may be seated. Dear saints, as I was looking at the three readings assigned for today, my first thought was, wow, there is a lot of law here. Where's the gospel? But as we know, the law is something that we also need to hear. We need to hear it for several reasons. First, that we might strive to keep it. And second, to hold up our own thoughts, words, and deeds to the light of God's law and see that we have not kept it. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is continuing his Sermon on the Mount. Remember, last week he told the people that no part of the law would be removed, that our righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, some of the most outwardly law-abiding people that have ever been. And finally, Jesus told us that he has come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so in today's lesson, Jesus is expanding on what it means to actually keep God's law. He says, of course, it's wrong to murder, but it's also mortal sin to be angry at someone or to call them a fool. Of course, it's wrong to commit adultery, but it's also mortal sin to look at someone lustfully. So dangerous is the breaking of God's law to our eternal salvation that Jesus tells us that if a particular body part is causing us to sin, it's better to cut it off than to be thrown into the fire of hell. These are pretty strong words. But this morning, I want to focus primarily on God's word of law through Moses in our Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy, and I think there we also might find some gospel. God says there, "See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil. Life and good on the one hand, and death and evil on the other." I think it's safe to say that we live in a fairly confusing and complex world. The world's sense of what is right and wrong seems to change almost daily. But the choices set before us by God here are clear and unambiguous. There is no gray area. Choosing life and good involves our obedience to God and his law. As Moses continues, "To love the Lord our God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances." Choosing death and evil, on the other hand, consists in bowing down to other gods and worshiping them. That is, putting our trust not in God, but in other things. To chase after things that we may like, but are actually sinful and against the law of our holy God. As Moses writes, "But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish." Now, I think we may be tempted to view the choices that God presents here, life and good and death and evil and blessings and curses, as if we were walking around a smorgasbord table or a buffet at a restaurant. We may think that we can choose a little bit of everything and still be okay. I don't know about you, but I like to try almost everything when I go to the buffet. We might be tempted to believe we can respond to God's words here in Deuteronomy by doing something to the effect of, well, I'll take some long life, a little bit of prosperity, a small helping of anger and resentment, a good size helping of going to church, maybe just a little sprinkling of lust, and then maybe I'll come back to sample a few of those other gods I haven't tried yet. Surely I've chosen enough of the good stuff to make up for the bad. Our thinking may be kind of like this example. Let's say you resolved to eat healthy, but one day you go and eat a whole bag of chips and then a whole box of cookies and a Dr. Pepper to top it all off, and then try to counteract all of it by eating some celery. It doesn't work. God is not presenting to us a lifestyle buffet where we can pick and choose some good options and mix in just a little bit of the bad, but not too much. There are, of course, many things in this life that we might rather choose than the things of God. Rather choose than following God's commands, but God tells us to choose life, life in Him, to turn away from all that is evil and bad. We don't always make the right choices, however. In fact, we frequently do not. Consider Israel, God's people of the Old Testament, to whom Moses is speaking in our text. Throughout Israel's history, the people chose that which was not life. Although they did enter into the Promised Land not too long after Moses spoke these words, they didn't stay there forever. The people lost their way, started choosing the evil and death, and eventually their nation was destroyed and the people taken into exile. We don't always choose the good either, but rather go chasing after the things of this world. This is the way of sin that leads to death. How then is it that we can choose the way of life? Lord, have mercy upon us. The only way for us to enter into the promised land of heaven is through our Lord Jesus, who calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, and another time is the resurrection and the life. We must remember that Jesus alone did love the Lord our God with all his heart, soul, and mind. Jesus alone did keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To choose life, then, is to be a follower of Jesus, to choose the way of the cross rather than some other way. And yet, how is that choice made? Jesus tells us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You see, Jesus, who is the author and creator of life, in whom we live and move and have our being, did not choose life for himself. Rather, he chose death, death on a cross for you. He chose to die so that in your baptism, he would then choose you to have new life, to have life in his name. It's Jesus' choice that really matters. He kept God's law perfectly, and because he chose to die for our sins, now we receive his righteousness, the forgiveness of those sins. Through his power and his power alone, we have been chosen, and are now his disciples, learning from his word and being led by him into the promised land of heaven. Now, I think we Lutherans get a little bit nervous when we are told to choose life, to choose God, to choose Jesus. It sounds as if our own actions are what get us into heaven, as if our own decision is what saves. But there is a proper way to think about choice with regard to the things of God. On the one hand, in Christ, God saves us, period. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. There is nothing we can do of our own merit to earn favor with God. We are at peace with God solely because Jesus brought us that peace through his death and resurrection. Furthermore, God gives us faith. Faith that trusts that these promises are for us. Trusts that our sins are forgiven on account of Christ. That faith is a gift we receive. And on the other hand, having received that faith, faith is not a passive thing. It is active. It is active within us. This gift of God, this faith, causes a change in our will, an incomplete change perhaps, but a change nevertheless. We, according to God's work in us, seek after God. We seek after the things of God. We actively come to his house for worship. We actively long for the word to be read and proclaimed to us. We choose to put our hands out and receive the body and the blood of Jesus. This faith causes us to seek the things of God, to desire the life he gives. It also causes us to seek the good of our neighbor, to help those in need, to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to want what God wants for the unbeliever, their repentance and belief in Jesus as their Savior. This act of faith is a gift of God, a gift through which God is at work that we may take hold of Christ's salvation. You may have heard of the seven deadly sins at some point. One of these is acedia, or often we'll say sloth. It's more like apathy. It doesn't really mean laziness, but apathy toward the Word of God, toward the things of God. This is the choice to not gladly hear the Word of God, to not care so much about the ways in which God gives us life, to be indifferent toward sound teaching and receiving absolution and communing with our brothers and sisters in Christ at this altar. And this is a most dangerous thing, because it's as if we're cutting ourselves off from the very things that bring us life, choosing death rather than life, cutting oneself off from the things that bring life. Sadly, can cause one to lose that precious gift of faith, which trusts in God alone. O Lord, keep us from such sloth and apathy. But you by God's grace are here this Lord's Day, here to be reminded again that God has chosen you to be his child. Here today, hungering and thirsting for God's righteousness. And in that hunger and thirst, you are blessed, being filled with God's word and Christ's body and blood. God has chosen you in Christ to be his child. May you continue to seek and choose the things of God that bring life through the power of God's Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.